This is a non-biased look at the ancient texts of the Bible that have accurately predicted the future multiple times. This is presented without a religious agenda and completely independent of any religious doctrine. In the previous video, we looked at Jesus' timeline from 70 CE until the coming asteroid impact and rescue, and we found out that the event preceding the asteroid will be the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place. And in order to understand this, Jesus referred us to the book of Daniel, which provides more details about the countdown to the asteroid impact. And it's necessary to look at the whole Daniel timeline in order to fully understand this. So in this video, we're going to chart the four major empires that Daniel says will precede the asteroid impact. So just for reference, the majority of the book of Daniel is believed by scholars to have been written at the very latest by the 2nd century BCE. But the context of the writings themselves take place beginning in the 6th century BC. So in the book, Daniel claims he received the information from dreams and visions, but he also talks about interacting with people who were giving him the information. So it's not clear how many different ways the information was relayed to him. But in short, he was told there will be four great empires and the fourth will be destroyed by an asteroid impact. So the information was given to him in code. And chapter 2 is the first place these empires are listed. So in this chapter, the king of Babylon has a dream of an image and asks Daniel to tell him what it means. And in verse 28, Daniel says, God in heaven is going to make known to King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. In other words, the end time. And then in verse 32, it lists the four parts of the image. So the first part of the image is the head of fine gold. So the head of gold is the first part of the image. Then the next part in verse 32 is the breast and arms of silver. So the second section is the chest and arms. Then verse 32, the next section is the belly and thighs of brass. So the third section is the belly of brass. Then verse 33, the legs of iron and the feet of part iron and clay are the fourth part of the image. Then it says in verse 34, and you saw this image until a stone that was cut out without hands smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay and broke them to pieces. So a stone will break the feet of the image right here. Then it says in verse 35, the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. And by the way, the word translated as earth, number 772, also means land. So it's saying in verse 35, the stone that destroyed the image became a mountain and filled the whole land. Then it says in verse 37 and 38, you, O king, you are the head of gold. So in verse 28, we're told the king is Nebuchadnezzar, who Bible scholars agree refers to Nebuchadnezzar II, who was king of the Neo-Babylonian Empire from 605 BC until 562 BC. So it tells us up front in Daniel 2 that the head is the king of Babylon, whose rule began in 605 BC. Then verse 39 says, and after you will arise another kingdom inferior to you. So that implies that Nebuchadnezzar represents the whole kingdom of Babylon, not just the head itself represents the whole kingdom of Babylon, not just the king, because it says another kingdom. So that means the first one is a kingdom as well. So it says another kingdom will arise. that is inferior to you, and a third kingdom of brass, and a fourth kingdom as strong as iron. So that all four of these parts of the images, it's saying right here, are kingdoms. So the head, the arms, the belly, and the legs all represent kingdoms, and another word for that is empires. So kingdoms are empires. Then verses 41 through 43 says, where you saw the feet and toes, part clay and part iron, the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken, and they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave to one another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. So we're not going to talk about who that refers to in this video, but it's making clear that it's referring to something that's going on in the last end of the fourth empire during the feet. During the feet of iron and clay, someone is mingling with the seed of men unsuccessfully. And verse 44, in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. So it's also saying that will happen during the end of the fourth empire as well at the feet. And verse 45, the stone will break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold. In other words, the stone will destroy what these four empires built. So that's what Daniel 2 lays out. Four empires, and at the end of the fourth empire, all of it will be destroyed by a stone that is not cut out with hands. So that implies that it's a natural stone of some kind. And it says that stone is so big, it becomes a mountain in the land. Okay, so the next chapter in the book of Daniel that talks about this timeline is chapter 7, and it describes the four empires as beasts. So verses 3 and 4 say, four great beasts came up from the sea, and the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. So the first empire is a lion with wings. And this is an ancient artifact called the Lion of Babylon. It's a brick panel of a lion with wings that existed in ancient Babylon during the reign of Nebuchadnezzar II. So Daniel 7 is confirming in verse 4 that the first beast, the lion with wings, represents the Neo-Babylonian Empire. So the first beast in Daniel 7 is a lion with wings, which also represents Babylon, and that matches the first part of the image in chapter 2. Then in verse 5, it says the second beast was like a bear with three ribs in its mouth. So the bear is the second beast in Daniel 7. And then verse 6, it says, after this, another like a leopard, which had four wings and four heads. So a leopard with four heads and four wings is the third beast in Daniel 7. Then in verse 7, it says a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, strong exceedingly, with great iron teeth. So the fourth beast is terrible and has iron teeth, and that also matches the fourth part of the image in chapter 2 that has iron legs and feet. Then verse 7 also says, and it had 10 horns. The fourth beast had 10 horns. So there are 10 horns on the fourth beast. Then verse 8 says, I considered the horns, and there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. So the little horn comes after three horns and out of the 10 horns. Then verses 9 through 11, it says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, and a fiery stream came forth before him, And I beheld until the beast was slain and given to the burning flame. So Daniel 7 says, a burning flame will destroy the fourth beast at the time of the little horn. So both Daniel 2 and Daniel 7 say the fourth empire will be destroyed. But Daniel 2 says a stone will destroy the fourth empire in the feet section. And Daniel 7 says a burning flame, a fiery stream, or a burning flame will destroy the fourth beast. So a burning flame stone, or a burning stone, will destroy the fourth empire and become like a mountain in the land afterward. In other words, all of this is leading up to a catastrophic asteroid impact. But then notice in verse 12, it says, as concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, but their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. So it's saying, after the burning stone destroys the last empire, some of the other governments will survive for a season and a time, but without dominion. Then verses 13 and 14 say, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and his dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom will not be destroyed. So the phrase Son of Man literally means son of mankind. So it's saying one like a son of mankind, or descendant of humans, came. So came and reached the ancient day that was approached before. So that's another possible translation. Notice the word him is not actually in the Hebrew. So this implies a cycle of some kind, and we see that a lot in the biblical text. Then it says in verses 15 through 17, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, and the visions troubled me. So I came near to one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all of this. And so he told me, these great beasts, which are four kings, which will arise out of the earth. So it says, these four here that we're looking at, the four beasts, they are four kings. And verse 19, it says, the truth of the fourth beast, whose teeth were of iron. So that's right here. Now it's going to tell us the truth of that. Verse 20, and of the 10 horns in his head. So right here, the 10 horns. And of the other one which came up, and before whom three fell, whose look was more stout than his fellows. So it's talking about the little horn. It's going to tell us the truth about that right now. And it says in verse 21, the same horn, in other words, the little one, made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came. So that's confirming that the little horn will exist right at the end when the burning stone destroys them and the Ancient of Days returns. But then notice in verse 23, it says, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom. So verse 17 says, all four beasts are kings. He uses the word kings. But so all four of them are kings, but then verse 23 says the fourth is a kingdom. So that right there establishes that the word king can also mean kingdom. So these beasts represent kings and or their corresponding kingdoms or empires. So we already know the first one is Babylon, and it says the fourth is an empire that will rule the whole earth. And that's in verse 23. The fourth beast will be the fourth kingdom and will devour the whole earth. So the last empire is a world empire. Then verse 24 says, the ten horns are ten kings that shall arise, and another will rise after them and subdue three kings. So the ten horns of the fourth beast, it says, are ten kings, which we know can also refer to kingdoms. In other words, countries or territories or empires. It can mean any of those things. And it says, another will rise after them. So it's saying 10 kings arise and another will rise after them. So in other words, another king shall arise after them and subdue three kings. So that's the little horn or the little king. And we know kings can also be countries. So a little country that will subdue three other kings, countries, or empires. Then verse 25 says, and he will speak against the Most High, wear out the saints, think to change the times and laws, and they will be given into his hand for a time, times, and the dividing of a time. So the saints will be given into the hand of the little horn for a time, times, and the dividing of a time. In other words, a time, times, and half a time. So earlier it said the lives of the other beasts or governments will be preserved for a season and a time after the burning flame. So that may occur when the saints are given into the hand of the little horn. We'll find more confirmation of that later. But after that final time, times, and dividing of a time, the everlasting kingdom will be set up in verses 26 and 27. So that confirms that we're talking about the end time. So those are the beasts of Daniel 7. The first one matched the first part of the image in chapter 2. So let's look at Daniel 8 next, because it gives us more clues about which empires these represent. So in chapter 8, verses 2 and 3, Daniel says he saw a vision, a ram with two horns, and it was pushing west, north, and south. So we'll put the ram from chapter 8 right here. And then verses 5 through 7, he says, a goat from the west that had a notable horn between its eyes came to the ram and smote the ram, breaking its horns. So the goat is after the ram. And then in verse 8, it says, the goat waxed great, and when he was strong, his horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. So the horn of the goat breaks into four horns, and that corresponds to the four heads of the leopard in Daniel 7. Then verse 9 says, and out of one of them came forth a little horn. So the little horn, it says, is going to come out of one of the four horns of the goat. And then in verse 10, it says, it waxed great even to the host of heaven. So that has to be the end time right there, because countries didn't go up to heaven until the last 100 years or so. And then verse 11, it says, and by him, the daily sacrifice was taken away and the place of the sanctuary was cast down. So we'll put a note in here because that's important. The daily sacrifice, it says, will be taken away by the little horn in the end time. Then verse 12 says, and a host was given to him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression. Then in verse 13, he asked the question, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And the saint says to him, until 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And then he clarifies in verse 17, at the time of the end shall be the vision. So the 2,300 days, it says, will occur at the time of the end. So in verses 15 and 16, Daniel says he sought for the meaning of what he was shown, and he heard a man's voice say, Gabriel, make this man understand the vision. And Gabriel says, at the time of the end shall be the vision. Then in verse 19, he says, I will make you know what will be in the last end. At the time appointed, the end shall be. And the texts use this term a lot, the appointed time. So it says the end event will happen at the appointed time. It's not something that can be delayed or changed. And that makes sense because we know now it's talking about an asteroid, and asteroids travel at a specific speed. So the date is set. It's not going to be just any time God feels like it. It's the appointed time. It says that over and over in the text. Then in verse 20, Gabriel tells Daniel exactly which empires the ram and the goat represent. He says, the ram that you saw having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia. So in verse 3, it says, the ram had two horns, and they were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher one came up last. So that represents Persia. Because according to history, Cyrus the Great, the king of Persia, conquered the Medes, or Media. So Gabriel says the ram represents the Medes and the Persians, of which Persia took over. So the Persian Empire is the ram in Daniel 8. And then in verses 21 and 22, he says, and the goat is the king of Greece, and the great horn is the first king. And that being broken, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. So it says the next section mentioned in Daniel 8, the goat represents the king of Greece and the four kingdoms that his empire was broken into. So this is corresponding to the four heads of the leopard in Daniel 7. Then verse 23 says, and in the latter time of their kingdom, a king of fierce countenance shall stand up. So in the latter time, in other words, the end time of those four kingdoms, a king will stand up. And that confirms what it said earlier, that the final king or kingdom will come out of one of these four right here. And it's clarifying now that it will rise at the end time of those four kingdoms. Then verse 24 says, his power shall be mighty and shall destroy the mighty and holy people, and by peace shall destroy many, and he shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he will be broken. So this king or kingdom will fight against the prince of princes, which refers to Jesus. So that confirms again that this is going to occur in the end time. Then verse 26 says, shut up the vision, it shall be for many days. So these visions were seen, according to the book of Daniel itself, back in this time period back here. And the books say the final kingdom or government won't exist until the end time, which Jesus said will be after the gospel reaches the whole world. And that it's only happened in the last 100 years. So these four major empires It's telling us span all the way from 605 BC during the reign of Nebuchadnezzar II until the present day. So now that Daniel chapter 8 has clarified that the kingdom that will be split into four sections is the King of Greece, and the kingdom before that is Persia, all we need to do now is confirm that that's what was meant in Daniel chapter 7 about the bear and the leopard. So the second beast in verse 5 is the bear with three ribs in its mouth, and it rises to power after the Neo-Babylonian Empire. And in 539 BC, Cyrus the Great invaded Babylon during the rise of the first Persian Empire. And Babylon was one of three empires he had to conquer to build the first Persian Empire. So it says at the bottom of the page, Cyrus the Great would advance to defeat first the kingdom of Media, which was the first horn of the ram, second, the kingdom of Lydia, and third, the Babylonian Empire, which was the first beast. So that's the three ribs of the bear right there. So the bear with three ribs in its mouth was the first Persian Empire beginning in 550 BC. And that matches what Daniel 8 said. And then Daniel 8 tells us the next empire, the goat, was the king of Greece. And that was Alexander the Great, who was the king of the ancient Greek kingdom of Macedonia. In 334 BC, he invaded the Achaemenid Empire, which is another name for the first Persian Empire. And it says he subsequently overthrew the Persian king Darius III and conquered the entirety of the first Persian Empire. So Alexander the Great's official reign began in 336 BC. So the king of Greece after Persia was Alexander the Great, who began his reign in 336 BC. And when he died, there was a dispute as to who his successor should be. And it says at the bottom down here, by about 281 BC, the dispute resulted in four major domains. First, the Antigonid dynasty in Macedon and central Greece. So we'll put Greece on here for short. Then second, it says the Ptolemaic dynasty in Egypt. So Egypt is next. Then it says the Seleucid dynasty in Syria and Mesopotamia. So we'll put Syria on here for short. And the fourth section, it says, was the Attalid dynasty in Anatolia, which is modern-day Turkey. So we'll put Turkey on here for short. And this time period of these four kingdoms is called the Hellenistic period. So the third beast was the Greek Empire under Alexander the Great and the four kingdoms that reigned after Alexander's death during the Hellenistic period. And this is a map right here of the dynasties during that time period. The labels here are the names of the kings themselves, but the green section represents Macedonia, which is modern-day Greece. And the orange section represents the Attalid dynasty, which is in modern-day Turkey and Bulgaria. The yellow section was the Seleucid dynasty, which includes both Iraq and Syria in modern day. And the Ptolemaic dynasty in purple is modern day Egypt, right here. So these are the four sections that Alexander's Greek Empire was split into, the areas that roughly correspond to modern-day Greece, Egypt, Syria, and Turkey. So in Daniel 8, verse 23, it says, "And in the latter time of these four kingdoms, a king of fierce countenance will stand up, who will also stand up against the prince of princes." So that king of fierce countenance will arise at the end time of these four kingdoms. And each of these four regions right here corresponded to a major empire at some point in history. Greece corresponded to not only the Greek Empire that we just looked at under Alexander the Great, but also ancient classical Greece, which flourished during the 4th and 5th centuries BC. Egypt corresponds to the ancient Egyptian Empire, which began around 3150 BC and reached its height during the New Kingdom, where it rivaled the Assyrian Empire. So Syria corresponds to the Neo-Assyrian Empire in Mesopotamia that some regard as the first real empire in human history. And that was from 911 BC until 609 BC. So three of these dynasties reached their full potential prior to the Hellenistic period. But the Turkey region did not rise to its full potential until the Turkish Empire, otherwise known as the Ottoman Empire, which dominated the region from 1299 CE until 1923 of the modern era. So the Turkish Empire reached its full potential from 1299 until 1923. And that year 1923, that's interesting because when it says the latter time of their kingdom that is mentioned in verse 23 of chapter 8, in the latter time of their kingdom, verse 23, that actually occurred in 1923 when the Turkish Empire ended. So another amazing coincidence maybe, but there are a lot of those you'll see in future videos. But that is when it says the king who destroys by peace will stand up, which we'll get to in a minute. But next we need to identify the fourth beast. So Daniel says, "The fourth beast is a kingdom that is terrible and exceedingly strong with iron teeth." And Daniel 2 clarifies that there are two sections of this kingdom, the legs of iron and the feet of both iron and clay. So historically, we know the Roman Empire rose to power after the Greek Hellenistic period with the victory of Octavian over Mark Antony and Cleopatra. It says here in 27 BC, the Roman Senate granted Octavian power and gave him the title Augustus, which ended the Roman Republic of Ancient Rome and started the Western Roman Empire from 27 BC to 476 AD. So the Roman Empire was the fourth beast, and the Western Roman Empire was the first phase of that, beginning in 27 BC. The second phase, the Eastern Roman Empire, started in 330 CE, right here. And that was during the reign of Constantine the Great, who established Christianity as the official religion of the empire. So the Eastern Roman Empire, also known as the Byzantine Empire, lasted from 330 to 1453. So the Eastern Roman Empire was the second phase, and it started in 330 CE. And the third phase was the Holy Roman Empire, which began in 962 with its largest territory in modern-day Germany. although some historians says here consider the coronation of Charlemagne as the starting point of the empire, and that occurred on Christmas Day in the year 800 when Pope Leo III crowned Charlemagne emperor. So it started in either 800 or 962, and it was dissolved formally by Emperor Francis II in 1806, which is right here. So the third phase of the Roman Empire was the Holy Roman Empire that started in either 800 or 962, depending on which historian you ask. And finally, Daniel 8, verses 22 and 23 are talking about the four kingdoms that stand up out of Alexander's empire. And it says in verse 23, in the latter time of their kingdom, a king of fierce countenance shall stand up. So right here, in the latter time of that kingdom. And verse 24 says, his power shall be mighty. But notice the word his is not in the Hebrew. Right over here is the translation that has his in it, his will, his power, etc. It's not actually in the Hebrew. The word his does not show up. So it could also be its. So it's saying its power shall be mighty. And verse 25 says, and by peace it shall destroy many. So on January 10th, 1920, the League of Nations was established. And it says here it was the first international organization whose principal mission was to maintain world peace. So in verse 23, we know the word king can also refer to a whole kingdom. So it says, in the latter time of the four kingdoms of Greece, when the transgressors are come to the full. So in the latter time, the absolute end after Alexander's four kingdoms, after those kingdoms reached their full potential, the very, very end of their full potential, which occurred in 1923. And also this is written in verse 23. It says a kingdom will stand up and by peace it shall destroy many and also stand up against the prince of princes. So that's the League of Nations rising up in 1920 at the tail end of the final of those four empires. Ancient Greece, ancient Egypt, the ancient Neo-Assyrian Empire, and the Turkish Empire. The absolute end of those occurred in 1923, and the League of Nations rose up in 1920 at the tail end. And again, it was the first international organization whose principal mission was to maintain world peace. And also notice chapter 7 says, in the same verses as chapter 8, verses 23 through 25, which, by the way, the League of Nations started in 1923 and the name was changed in 1945. So in the same verses, in both chapter 7 and chapter 8, it's verses 23 through 25 that talk about this. In chapter 7, verses 23 through 25, it says, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom and shall devour the whole earth. And the United Nations replaced the League of Nations in 1945, and there are currently 193 member states which cover the whole earth, as you can see in this map. So everything in blue is a member of the kingdom that came in the name of peace, the United Nations. And their flag still displays the old Roman Empire symbol of the wreath, which was under the feet of the eagle in the Roman flag. And this right here was the emblem of the Byzantine Empire, otherwise known as the Eastern Roman Empire. And on the UN flag, the wreath under the feet of the two-headed eagle has remained, but the eagle has been replaced by an image of the whole earth, which seems to represent the Roman Empire's conquest of the whole world. So again, the League of Nations was established in 1920, just 3 years before the Turkish Empire officially ended, and the League of Nations was renamed the United Nations in 1945. So this is the chart of the first part of Daniel's countdown to the asteroid, and we'll continue this in the next video next week. If you appreciated this information, please consider providing support, because I cannot do this without your help. There are also more links linked under the description below, and I'll put a link to the entire playlist right here for you. So for those of you that have been making these presentations possible, I want to say thank you so much, and I will talk to you next week.